Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, loved ones. As always, it is such an honor, privilege, and pleasure to be in fellowship this Sabbath, corresponding with February the 4th, 2017. As I always say, and you all know just as much as I do, it is amazing how fast time is flying. God is at work. But with that being said, I want to say grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord, the Son of the Most High, God Yah, Yeshua the Messiah, whom Christians call Jesus Christ. It is indeed a blessing to have the gift of life that is through the Son, Yeshua, as well as the breath of life, all coming and pointing to the Almighty Most High God Yah. I thank the Lord, His only begotten beloved Son, for His perfect obedience to the will of the Father, accepting it as His own and leading by example. This is why we are enriched and blessed with the love and mercy and grace of Yah that calls us into salvation, and that is the intent and purpose for which we should use the love, mercy, and grace of Yah. It is to be saved, to be sanctified, to be in eternity with Him. So it is my trust, hope, and prayer that we all have this mind, be encouraged, be empowered, be enlightened, and be edified one of another, for we are our brother and sister's keeper. It's just as simple as that. We are keepers toward one another in this respect, and we ought to be all the more diligent in this day and time that is before us, because these are indeed some, as the scriptures say, perilous times, which is difficult times. You know, but Yah is faithful, and He will deliver His own. Make no mistake about it. And we just have to be in that fold, because salvation is certainly here, and it is achievable by the gift of life, the Yeshua, His death, burial, and resurrection. So today I want to talk about America. And that's the topic. As a diverse nation, unlike any other, that's pretty much what America is. America is unlike any other nation that has ever been and would ever be in the likeness that America is. There will not be another America. From here, we go into the kingdom of Yeshua the Messiah, who was to do what America thought she could do, and what all the leaders and founding fathers have spoken to do for the people and for the world, but were unable to do it because of their own issues in life, because their own nature, which is the sinful nature, for what was told and what was inspired. And when I say told, I mean for what the founding fathers have told the people, for the good word they have spoken, for what they have felt inspired to. They did not consider that those achievements can only be from one who is in the epitome of righteousness, the epitome of holiness. It can only come through the Most High God Himself, in the kingdom established through His only begotten and beloved Son, in whom He was well pleased, Yeshua the Messiah. The dream, the American dream, and all these other aspirations were not going to be achieved in the hands of men, in the realms of men. It would mean that you have to trust men. And the scripture teaches us not to trust any man, but put our trust in Yah. And this is where the founding fathers and the leaders of this world, and I speak specifically about America, this is where they go wrong. Usurping the authority and the power of the Most High God to establish themselves as God and to have their word esteem above the word of God and their mind esteemed above the mind of God. This is what it is. So what makes America diverse or diverse be different? I have to relate to the scriptures in all that I say. And this is what I love about the word of Yah, because there is no time stamp on it in a sense of it being outdated, it being something that's not relevant today. From generation to generation, the word of God is established, and it remains the same. The integrity, the wisdom and understanding of it remains the same. You know, from generation to generation, he gives us a deeper revelation, deeper understanding of it from generation to generation. But that in and of itself is the awesomeness, because we cannot in our finite mind come to the conclusion or come to exhaust all of what is of God in his word. So he begins to give it to us in part. And as each of us have our own part to play, whether in the generation that we're in or the generations to come, it is the hope of the Most High that we use it to come together, that we use it to edify and to encourage one another in the things that pertain to Yah and to his son, Yeshua, the Messiah. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen to be that way. For when people get knowledge, they get information, they get revelation, then they begin to bring unto themselves titles, they get big-headed, they want to faction off and go into establishing their own ministry and churches, and that becomes a mess. So they can't be trusted with knowledge and with the information of Yah, because then they abuse such position that the knowledge and the information has given them. And next thing you know, the people are made merchandise of. The people are hustled. People are misled. The people are abused and mistreated, as these men are esteemed, and Yah did not purpose for that. The more information and knowledge we get, the more revelation, the closer our relationship with Yah, the more humble we ought to be. You know, it's just as simple as that. The more of servants we ought to be. We shouldn't esteem ourselves in titles like pastors and prophets and apostles and these different type of high calling titles that really is no substance in them, particularly in today's time. They're just empty men, men of shell, that take and steal from Yah to make themselves more than they are, and they prosper from that. But the people don't profit from that in their soul and their spirit. And that's why the souls and the spirits are destitute, are dry, they are thirsty, they are famished. And people being misled in that they're going to hell, basically, because they're unsaved. They're not kept. They're not prepared for what is to come. And Yah's servants ought to be preparing the people for what is to come. But the people are ill-prepared because they're getting motivational speaking. They're getting prosperity doctrines. They're setting their heart and affections on the things of this world that are temporary. And the scripture make it very clear that are going to be destroyed. But people invest all their emotions, they invest their soul, they become soul tied into this world, in the system of it. And they neglect their soul, and they neglect the things of Yah, and they neglect the heavenly things. And they don't put give any value and consideration to them things at the expense of their soul that Yeshua shed his blood and died for. There's not a commodity, there's not a currency. There's nothing, no resource, no sources. There is nothing in this earth that is worth more than what Yeshua has done to purchase our soul, which is his blood. If it was a better if it was worth more and if it was better, Yah would have used the resources that was in the earth. He would have used the commodities and the currencies, because he could have spared the life of his son that went through the pain and the suffering and the sacrifice on our behalf. He could have spared that. But there was nothing better than the bloodshed of the Son of Yah and going through what we have been through with the wound of sin that was against us, that even turned Yah against us in respect that he had to be true to his word, so he had to execute judgment because of the sin. When he told Adam not to sin, or death would be the consequences of it, he couldn't go back on his word, and he still don't go back on his word. There's still a day of death. There's a day of reckoning, though it is prolonged, thanks to the love, mercy, and grace of Yah through Yeshua the Messiah, his only begotten beloved son. I believe this gospel. I believe this truth. I ain't find nothing better. Haven't found anything better. So with that being said, America being different, I, you know, go to Daniel. There was a beast that Daniel had foreseen with respect to the vision that the king of Babylon had seen. You know, we dealt with the king being Nebuchadnezzar. You know, we had that king of Babylon. But then the second king, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, was Belshazzar. And Belshazzar had a dream just like his dad, you know, his father. And Yah gives understanding. That's where we get it from, if we have it. If we get it from any other source and it's not reliable, don't trust it. It is a lie. If it comes from any other source other than the Holy Spirit, that is confirmed in his word. So this dream was the prophecy for what was to come. You know, Belshazzar dreamed about four empires, four kingdoms. The Babylonian Empire, the Medes and the Persians, the Greek, and then the Roman Empire. And this fourth kingdom or nation that is coming to power is an extension of the forefather, the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire has not been done away with. It has been integrated into the culture and times, mingled with the European Western nations as a whole, and it became unique. So there were ideals and philosophies from governmental standpoints, from political standpoint, that were accepted, integrated into what we have in America. It is the foundation. What we have in America is the foundation, our government founded on the Roman structure of government. But then even in this last generation, this empire that we're in America is an empire. She has dominion, meaning she has a power, rulership, and authority over the whole earth. But she has attributes of each of the three preceding empires. And I say preceding because we're still in the Roman Empire. And she has the characteristics and the attributes and the government and the system of Rome, but then of Greece, the Medes and the Persians, of the Babylonians. You know, so and this is what is unique about this beast that we're dealing with. You know, in Daniel, and I'll go to it, in Daniel, through the vision and the dreams, Daniel began to interpret. Now, in the second chapter of Daniel, and I'll read this, and it is quite striking that how accurate the prophet I is it couldn't be less than accurate because it is Yah who has revealed and established the kingdoms and how things are going to come to pass. And so it can be no deviation. It can be no slightness of eyes and nearsightedness or anything that would not make it 100%. We may not know 100% of what Yah meant, and even the prophets, they may not have known 100%, but Yah knows, and as I said earlier, he reveals it to us as we go along. So in Daniel chapter 2, starting at verse 40, and it reads, "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces, subdues all things," or that means to shatter all things, "and as iron that breaks all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise," or to crush, that bruise is to crush. "And whereas you saw the feet and the toes," and so what had happened was Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of an image. It had the head, then it had the, and Daniel reveals to him what his dream was. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't even remember what he had dreamed, and he was going to kill all the soothsayers and all the wise men of the land that could not tell him what he had dreamed. I mean, that was impossible, not nearly impossible. It was impossible that you're going to have a dream that you can't remember, but then you want other people to remember it. And that's the situation that the prophets or the soothsayers and the men that he relied on for his spirituality, that's the dilemma they were in. They had to tell this man a dream that he didn't remember. Well, the man of God, Daniel, was able to do that because God revealed it to him, because God is over all things. So Yah reveals to Nebuchadnezzar that what he had dreamed was an image, an image whose head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, and his legs of iron, and his feet part of iron and part of clay or ceramic. And that was the image that Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed about. And when Daniel brought it to his attention, "This is what you dream," then Nebuchadnezzar was able to recollect and come. So the head that represented Babylon, the breasts and the arms represented the Medes and the Persian Empire. These are empires, the Medes and the Persian empires. The thighs of brass that represented the Greek Empire. And then the legs of iron and the feet of iron and part of clay, it represent the Roman Empire, which was the fourth kingdom, which we are in that time now. That's this, and it is the end time. That's why the fourth part of this image is at the end. It is at the feet. We are at the end. We're at this feet that is have been spoken of. We are there. And so with Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel revealing this to him, you know, it is, and I'm going to fast forward because the point of it is that nothing has changed. This thing that we call life, what we're in now, it has not changed whatsoever. These spirits, they continue to evolve to the next generation, from one generation to the next generation. And so what was so diverse about this beast represented of America, and I'll get more into it, but it takes us to Daniel 7 because it is given in different signs and symbols and imagery, but the spirit remains the same. It is still the same. And so we went from where Nebuchadnezzar had this image in a dream that we have now, his son Belshazzar has a vision. And in Daniel chapter 7, verse 19, and it reads, "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast," another four, representing all four that I mentioned before, all four empires I mentioned before. And then it says, "which was diverse," meaning was different from all the others, "exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured and break in pieces and stamp the residue with his feet." Stamping the residue, he trampled upon the people, you know, of bronze, and he was just different. And that's what this beast was that Daniel had seen and interpreted for Belshazzar. And this beast is synonymous with the feet and the legs of the image that his father Nebuchadnezzar, the father of Belshazzar, has seen. The spirit of it is the same. And so we have what was different and diverse, you know, with respect to this beast, you know. And and just going back to the second chapter of Daniel, at verse 33, with the legs of iron and part, his feet part of iron and part of clay. And this was the start of the Roman Empire. And if you would look into Roman history, you see that they had craftsmanship with a lot of iron. Iron was very significant during their time. And all the other empires with attributes that Yah had given to them that the scriptures speak of, I just don't have time to do the other three empires, the preceding empire, but, you know, they had the iron mask, they had the weapons, you know, they were strong. And so the Romans started coming into power in 227 BC. But in 27 BC, they came into their full power. And the Roman Empire, biblically, the name is the Gentiles, but we also know them as the descendants of Esau, the Edomites. They're one and the same, spiritually more so than anything. But in the modern so-called Caucasian, European Christian man is the extension of the Roman Empire. It is a European nation, as Paul went to the Gentiles, which was a European nation. Where did Paul go? He went to Rome. When Yeshua was handed to the Gentiles, who was he handed to? He was handed to the Romans. It was the Romans that set up for him the crucifixion. That was part of their judicial system, to be crucified. It was the Romans. And the Romans are the Gentiles. They're synonymous. And so in biblical terms, you can call them Gentiles. You can call them Edomites. But the Romans, they were ruled by a Senate, which was made up of rich, wealthy Roman citizens that were aristocrats. They were just the high echelon. And they formed an aristocracy, or a democratic form of government, like what we have, a democracy. Now, for me, democracy is an all-tale word for what the government really is, a democracy, because I think it's a mixture of demons and government, democracy. You know, that's my take on it. So I believe in the power of words, but it is an oligarchy. You know, the rich, the wealthy, aristocrats, the nobles, the 1%ers, they call them. You know, and this is what comprised of the Roman government. And in this, you know, with this oligarchy, I'm sorry, I'm saying oligarchy, but I mean an oligarchy. what happened is they control the whole masses of the people and other nation and other resources. It is a government that is controlled by such men, a small group of people. And we're seeing this even more so. It has finally come out of the woodworks and presented itself. And this is what we're getting when we see Donald Trump and we see his cabinet surrounded by rich and powerful men. I'm going ahead of myself. We'll get there. But this is what the Roman Empire was. And so the defeat, part of iron and part of clay, the latter end, which is the latter end of the Greco-Roman Empire, it is America. And America, it is symbol of America, which came into power in, what, independence, 1776, by the War of Independence. And so we have this form of government. We have this spirit that Daniel had seen long ago. And it is astounding, the accuracy of Yah's word and his prophets and his great men and even his apostles, you know. So that is it in a sense of the fourth kingdom being a Roman Empire, strong as iron, you know, because we read where it was mentioned that it was strong as iron. You know, the feet, the kingdom shall be strong as iron. That's relative to, when we understand that, that's relative to the military might, the power. America esteems herself on the fact that militarily she's unmatched in any nation, unmatched by any nation. It is why America feeds on continuing to grow her military at the expense of the poverty of her people and the high taxes and the waste of taxes. America would see to it that she has a strong military. America would see to it that law enforcement is strong. This is what's meant by legs of iron, that she stands on her military might. She stands on law enforcement, the police. No matter what is happening, they want to make sure to have that upper hand, that law enforcement, that military. This is where her confidence is. Confidence is not in Yah. Confidence is not in God whatsoever. America's confidence, this diverse beast that was different from any other empire that ever existed, the military might that she has, strong as iron. The Roman military was the strongest. So it is a continuation of that, and breaking in pieces and subduing all things, conquering. The Romans conquered. America goes about conquering. And so the feet being connected to the leg, and we see that the Roman Empire and the similarities, the feet only refers now to America with characteristics of Rome. It is the continuation of the Roman Empire and the feet. So partly of potter's clay and part of iron, meaning that America, listen to this. For as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdue all things, as iron breaks all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. I mean, it subdues, shatter, and to crush. The subdue is to shatter, and to bruise is to crush. And then it says, and whereas you saw the feet and the toes, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as you saw the iron mixed with the clay. Kingdom divided. The clay represent the weakness, the immorality, the injustices, the racism, the social issues. That is represented by the clay. That affects the people. See, the clay is the people. The people are fickle. The people are weak. The people give in to temptation. That is the clay. They give in to the temptation.
that people tap out, they faint at temptation, ill prepared for the tribulation that can come. Americans consider temptation as tribulation. When they can't have the lust of the eyes, the pride of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, when they can't have those things, that's tribulation to them. But we must understand what America sees as tribulation is not truly tribulation. What America does in other countries and nations and causing them the chaos and destabilizing them, poverty and violence and wars, and those people have to, under such oppression, have to deal with life. That's tribulation. And many believers in Yeshua the Messiah, and they call themselves Christians, at the edge of a sword, the threat of being beheaded, the threat of seeing their family destroyed, the threat of not eating, being jailed, being hunted down, all imaginable evil committed against them for Yeshua's sake, that's tribulation. That's tribulation. They still hold on to this man in spite of the dangers, in spite of the life threats, in spite of the being without, doing without, in spite of hunger, for Yeshua's sake. That's tribulation. But not being able to find out what to wear to church, not being able to see the Super Bowl, not being able to go to the club, not being able to decide what meal you want to have or what restaurant you want to go to, not being able to decide what car you want to ride, not being able to eat what you want to eat, though you have something to eat, not being able to decide that you must be with this person that you committed yourself to death do you part in marriage. Being raped as a woman and still trying to maintain your honor and dignity and trust in God. We have it mixed up real bad. But see, that's the clay. The strong part is the military. See, America don't have a existential threat from another nation. America creates and makes up this ideal of an existential threat, but the nations that really have the military, that have the weaponry to have a mutually assured destruction, and I'm saying that with respect to Russia and China, that if there is a World War III, those nations can bring a mutual assured destruction to America, just like America can do to them. The nations are not a threat. But what we need to understand about America, and it happens even in on a domestic level as much as on a international level. This nation and its leadership, this government is so skilled in twisting the story and making a line to the truth and vice versa. This nation is so skilled in making it seem, making what you see appear that is not what you see. What do I mean by this? Once again, as they create this boogeyman, the mess in the Middle East is the result of this government, starting from Saddam Hussein. George Bush introduced the 21st century. He opened the floodgate to what we have, terrorism, that we call it, and all of these threats, this boogeyman thing, paranoia that America has. When she create the boogeyman, she create the Frankenstein. America thrives off of these issues that justify her going into wars and going into causing instabilities amongst the nation. This nation thrives on that. This is the nature of the Edomites, Gentiles. This is the nature of European Caucasian Christians. This is how they came into this nation under these pretenses. They assume themselves to do righteous and to do good, but they don't know. They have yet to see. They are completely oblivious that your ideal of peace is always war and violence and ravaging and stealing and lying and murder. But you're always chasing this peace that evades you because your heart, your nature is not right. The scripture is very clear that there is no peace to the wicked. And when you're always talking about peace, you're always chasing peace, and what peace you bring, and when you're going about this peace, but you're bringing hell and you're bringing death, that lets me know that you're wicked. This is a wicked government. Not because I say so, and certainly not because they would admit it, but the actions of this government. You have to be deaf, dumb, and blind to not see this and to believe these lies. So what I'm saying is they love recreating the imagery. So, for example, you'll see a police, and they apprehend a black man, and they're in a panic and a frenzy, and they're saying they have the black man on the ground, and they'll still be just in their confusion. Get on the ground. Get on the ground. Stop resisting arrest. Stop resisting arrest. And they begin to yell out these commands in order to just cause chaos and everything associated with that incident. But what people don't understand, and they don't pay close attention, and this is America domestically and America abroad. What people don't see is when that man that's on the ground apprehended by police, the police are using tactics that they learn in their training to cause, to hit pressure points, and to cause motion in your bodies that are involuntary. You have no control. See, they understand this. And then they use it to their advantage to continue to do their brute force, to continue to use excessive force. That as you're twisting a man's arm and you're hitting pressure points and his body involuntarily responds, he's not resisting arrest. He's not thinking to oppose you, but you're training your skill to manipulate the body, and so that brings a response. And then when the body responds, then you justify yourself to use excessive force. You instigate. You provoke. You're troublemakers. And this is what they do in this nation amongst the people of color, and it's what they're doing abroad. You send weapons into Iraq, and that's an old story, but it's still relevant. You instigate, you make these deals with these nations, and I don't know why these nations, the leadership is just as dumb as American leadership. You cannot make a deal with America, because America, and we're going to see, she changes. See, this is the uniqueness. I can get into this now. And Daniel, this was the uniqueness which made her diverse than any other nation. This is probably the most important one. Even with the image, you know, the head, the tail, excuse me, the arms and the legs and all of those, particularly standout images. And then we go to Chapter 7. You know, that was in chapter 2. And we went to chapter 7 because we seen in verse 19 that the fourth beast was diverse from all the other ones, and he was dreadful. And in this, they couldn't, you know, we had the first beast was the lion. We can see that. We can identify that with a person. The second beast was a bear,
we can identify that. That was the second empire, which was the Medes and the Persians. So once again, the first beast, the lion, that was Babylon. The second beast, the Medes and the Persians, that was a bear. Third beast, the Greeks, that was a leopard. Identifying the beast, you can identify. Then he saw a fourth beast, and this is verse 9, actually, Daniel chapter 7. This is the uniqueness of this beast, and I cannot, if I don't cover nothing else, it is important that I cover this, because this is the defining of what made this beast so diverse. And it goes into why I was saying people should not make deals with America. But when he says in verse 7, Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue, meaning that it crushed, it devoured and it crushed the people, the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse. Listen, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And it was diverse, it was different from all the beasts before it. The reason why, because other than its action, you could not identify this beast. But the actions were going to stay the same. So you don't make a deal with America when you understand these scriptures and you understand nature of this beast and what you're dealing with. Because you'll make a deal with Barack Obama, but Barack Obama is not going to always be the face of America. There's going to be a new face that comes, such as a Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is going to disregard the deal that America made under Obama. This is why this beast was diverse more than any other beast, because it continued, the leadership changes. It continues to change. Every 4 years, and at max 8 years, a president of America has 8 years, and we elect congresspersons in the Senate and in the as senators and congressmen. So the faces are ever changing. Babylon, you knew that that was Nebuchadnezzar. The Medes and the Persians, you knew that was Darius and Cyrus. Greece, you knew that that was Alexander the Great or the Greek. The Roman Empire, you can't put a face to it. They had many of them, many emperors. So that is important for us. But though the faces change, the policies never change. It is still a beast that go about devouring, destroying, causing havoc and mayhem, using excessive force. And justifying itself, feeling noble, feeling that it's doing a great work when it is the root cause of the problem. I use this analogy all the time. When you're dealing with America, you're dealing with the arsonist and the fireman together. You're dealing with the bank robber and the cop. You're dealing with the criminal and the cop. You're dealing with the sinner man, and you're dealing with the Christian man. That is mingled. It is the stark personification of what Daniel seen, the attribute of what Daniel seen in this nation that was that make America unlike any other nation. There is not another nation that is set up like America in this respect. And then not only that, not only set up like her in this respect, but to have the military might of America. There's not another nation. So Ronald Reagan said it, what you know, we talk about what make America diverse. Different, that being one. And America, Ronald Reagan said, he said, America truly is the last best hope for man on earth. See, these servants of Satan, highly deceived. Call them servants of Satan.
because they call themselves civil servants. But I learned not to believe what they say. And the sad part about it is the people suffer at the hands of a government that is supposed to be for the people. But the people ain't benefiting because, once again, we go to what the Roman Empire was set up as anyway, as an oligarchy, a small group of people that control the government. So for so long, in deep cover, you had the wealthy and powerful that was using politicians pulling strings, having the politicians lobbying them to do their dirty work, to do their evil, to make laws, to, you know, profit the rich, the bankers, to profit them people, the rich, the powerful, that the politicians were put in place to use their charisma, to put witchcraft on the people, to subdue, to cast a spell on the people, to draw and pull on the strings of the heart of the people to them, while the true rulers that were in the dark behind closed doors calling the shots were controlling the politicians. So what you have is just the people being controlled by dark forces. This is why the scripture said we fight not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. But the time has come now, they can come out and they can be themselves. So Donald Trump can be as blunt as he want to be. He can make mention. I said this, I know, last week, and I'm saying it again because it ties into the culture and the society has got so degraded with real TV, with abuse of what's called freedom of speech. See, it was a process that Satan had in place. And in this process, he had to continue to work against and to wear the saints down. This is in the scriptures too. Wear the saints down. So when you wear the saints down, there's no standard. There's no honor. There's no respect. When you wear the saints down, you take away all the honor. You take away the respect. You take away in any type of morality. And once you take that away and you have the people naked and unashamed, then it's time for a Donald Trump to come. Now we can come out. We've done our job. The people have been so degraded. They've lost their mind. They have no sense of shame. They have no sense of God other than what their ideal and religion. Now I can bring about a Donald Trump, the most debased of men. All of them have been debased. Barack Obama, George Bush, they only men in suits looking the part. But they had no integrity. They were liars. They were immoral. They were ungodly, unrighteous. But now Donald Trump is blatant now. He is the expression of all of them from the inward part, meaning what was in their heart, it is seen now openly through Donald Trump. So they're diverse. And this is what we're dealing with in this beast. And so his military might is what he put confidence in. And with that being said, you know, this, I'm trying to get my thoughts together because I have so much going through my mind, because this is so deep in why America is unlike any other in the time that we have come to. You know, I cannot exhaust all of this for the time that we are in now. And it is all set up. Yah had already, he has already foretold that it was going to be this way. And I was dealing with the weak, you know, the strong and the partly clay that was broken. And I'll continue on that because the strength of America, the iron, the strength of the iron
as I stated, it is its military. It is its police. You know, that's without a shadow of a doubt, you know, in this. But, you know, with that being said, I have to, in getting my thoughts together, partly broken, it goes back to that with the clay, is a weak society. The moral code is broken. That's the weakness of America, as I stated earlier. See, you cannot just rely on your military and a force and brute force and think you're going to survive as a nation, because even Rome imploded. Rome was destroyed from the inside out. The unique thing about America is it's going to, as it does likewise, it is being destroyed from the inside out. The scripture said, how can a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand? A nation divided against itself cannot stand. A household divided against itself cannot stand. This is why my household got to be a one spirit, got to be a one mind. We got to be together, otherwise we can't stand. But that's just a principle that y'all put into place. So a kingdom against itself, America is a kingdom. America can't stand because it is against itself. I don't care how they lie and how they shore up their military and invest into the military. America, you won't stand because the word of God is greater than any weapon that you can form against it. You cannot stand. God's word has already made a decree that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Yah is making mockery of this nation now, and it's quite amusing when you understand and see what's going on, that the nation is against itself, starting from racism, starting from your conception of a nation. When you came in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, when you came in your Jesus Christ, and you wanted to Christianize and proselytize the indigenous people here, that spirit of division, when you separated from Britain, the spirit of division, you carry that spirit with you. It is all you know. You cannot stand. You've been in existence as a nation for over 200 years, but that is very, very young when you talk about nations such as China and others that's been in existence for thousands of years. You rose to power quickly, and you're going to fall from power even quicker, America. You have reached your zenith. America is never going to be great again in the ideal that they thought they were in the industrial age and being a nation. The ideal that they stole from the Bible. You want to create the kingdom that was reserved for Yeshua. Satan gave you the blueprint, which was this Bible, and gave you the power to go and enact what Yah said he was going to do for Yeshua the Messiah. See, folks don't understand this. This was diverse for this nation. We talk about the seed of men. The seed of men in verse 43. Whereas you saw iron mixed with myrrh clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. America has all nations within its border. America is called the Great American Melting Pot. All the nations of people are together in this nation. Come to this nation. When you had the clay, when you had the military, when you had the weak society and the moral code, and then you add to that all the seed of men, meaning all nations of people come into it, the great melting pot. And then listen what the scriptures say, though. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron and clay is, even as iron is not mixed with clay. There's going to be no unity. We're going to be having issues about immigrants. We're going to be having issue about refugees. And let's take immigrants by definition as a person who comes to a country to live there. Refugees, someone who has been forced to leave a country because of war or for religious or political reasons. All of these are the seed of men coming into America, but
It won't mingle. It won't mesh. This has been told thousands of years before it is happening now. We're talking about America, a diverse nation unlike any other. People want to aspire here for the Russian, for the American dream. They're not asking for the Chinese dream. They're not asking for the Russian dream. They're not even asking for the European dream, the Australian dream, the German dream. They're coming for in hopes of an American dream. But what they don't understand, the American dream is really camouflage. You're dealing with the beast, and that dream turns into the nightmare when you pull the imagery off and you see it for what it is worth. You're subject to die. You're subject to be made merchandise of when you engage with this beast. But by the grace and mercy of Yah, that's the only thing that is sustaining any of us. Is Yah holding back? But his patience is wearing thin. And it's another subject. I said, well, I can appreciate Donald Trump because he's going to do the work of Yah, but not works of righteousness and justice. He's not going to do that, but he is going to be Yah's chastening rod, as Nebuchadnezzar was against Israel, who sinned against Yah. It is imperative for us to understand this. So the seed of men is the nations coming together. This is called the melting pot, the Statue of Liberty. She cried out, oh, transgender self. That's all. It's a transgender. You look at it, look like a man. But it's supposed to be some woman. But apparently part of her motto is, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shores. Send these, the homeless, the tempest tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. This nation and its leaders have always been great with words, but the words and the actions, they don't mix. When America defeated the British, they had a path that they wanted to follow. And they didn't want to be like any other nation. But they had to instill have a government, and the only options was like England with the king or Europe with the king or some type of parliamentary system. But America didn't want to go that route. She decided, in a sense of, who was it, James Madison, the ideal of this constitution, letting everyone in America and the world know where the real power lay. They didn't want it vested into a monarchy or in men, elite men, so to speak, a small group. They didn't want it vested into oligarchy, as a matter of fact. But they wanted the real power in America lies in the hands of the first three words of the Constitution, we the people. They wanted the power to be in we the people, but it was an ideal, because you cannot have sinners be sanctified and call that which is not as though it were. It's not going to work. And so that's what happened with we the people. But it was just a dream. It was just good words. It was never about the people. And this is what we're dealing with in this day and time that is part of America being unlike any other nation. Saints, this gets so deep, I can't even begin to scratch the surface of it. But I tell you, till next time, may the Lord continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace, unto salvation above all else, because I'm going to stop right now, and we'll talk more about it next Sabbath, Lord willing. Take care, loved one.